entrusted to you. In saying that, our second reading this morning is Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Hear the word of God. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in to him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, and also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, once again, we praise you for your word. May your Holy Spirit guide us, knowing this morn, the path to discover our identity in Christ. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Dissatisfaction with and distortion of our identity have always been a significant problem in human history. Such behavior is related to the man's first sin when Adam and Eve gave in to the tempter's offer to become like gods in the knowledge of good and evil. Such a choice devastated humanity completely, tarnishing the image of God in men. So, after the fall, humans developed a distorted view of who we are and what we must do to be loved and accepted in the interpersonal relationships. So, in the materialist and humanist worldview that governs much of our culture, the criterion determining someone's values is based on family's career, how much money they earn, and their network of influential friendships, or even in physical beauty, in the physical beauty they possess. The social pressure is so high in this sense that suicide cases are multiplying around the world among young people who do not conform to this stereotype of beauty, wealth, fame, and power. In a harsh criticism of this inversion of values prevalent in the Western culture, in 2014, the American singer Cole Keliot composed the song entitled Try. The song declares, put your makeup on, get your nails done, curl your hair, run the extra mile, keep it slim so they like you. Do they like you? Get your sex on. Don't be shy, girl. Take it off. This is what you want to belong so they like you. Do you like you? You don't have to try so hard. You don't have to give it all away. You just have to get up, get up, get up, get up. You don't have to change a single thing. You don't have to try. Do your shopping at the mall. Max out your credit cards. You don't have to choose. Buy everything. So that they like you. They like you? Wait a second. Why should you care what they think of you when you are alone without anyone? Do you like yourself? Do you like you? When we look at the last of the seven letters to the Church of Asia, we find a church in an identity crisis, extremely concerned about its status, but unhappy. In this letter, Jesus invites the Church of Laodicea to return to their true identity in Christ. Laodicea was founded in 250 BC by Antiochus of Syria, and the city was in the middle of a major trade route. It was rich, for you have an idea, the city was a financial center, one of the wealthiest cities in the world, and in 61 AD, the city was destroyed by an earthquake. And they were so rich, they just rebuilt themselves without any help from the emperor. The city was also a center for a textile industry, proud of the clothing it produced. It was also an important medical center. A famous medical school was there, and two almost miraculous anointments for the ears and eyes were manufactured there. And the city was finally also a center of thermal waters. And this is very important for us understanding something the Lord says to this church. So Colossae, it was close from the city, and they were a source of cold water, and Hierapolis, that was a source of hot water, and which in its course over the plateau became warm. And in this condition, it flowed from the rocks bordering Laodicea. So through this church, we can find the Lord guiding his people in the way to find the biblical path for our identity in Christ. And to find our identity in Christ, we need to know that the Christian's identity comes from him and not from the world. When we look to the verse 14, Jesus begins the letter to Laodicea by saying, "Here is a message from the Amen, conveys what is true, firmly established and trustworthy," and preceded by the definite article, Amen was personified in Hebrews, the text, as the God of Amen. And when you open your Bible in Isaiah 65, you can find the God of truth, the God of the Amen. So Jesus applies to himself this title and gives its meaning in the following sentence in the verse 14, as the faithful and true witness. It means, church, that everything Jesus says is true, without a doubt. So much so that at the end of the book of Revelation, we read the statement, these words are faithful and true. And we already saw in chapter 2, because of he was a faithful witness, Antipas suffered a martyr's death in Pergamum. So in fulfilling the prophecies of the Old Testament, Jesus presents himself here as the faithful true witness. And also in the verse 14, Jesus calls himself the principal or ruler of creation, actively, because Jesus is the one who generates and brings God's creation into existence. But what then is the purpose of this description? It is to show that Jesus Christ made all things and therefore owns and controls them all. A church that was intoxicated by its wealth, beauty, and apparent health, using such virtues as lenses to reflect its value, needed to understand that only Christ was the sovereign of the universe and over all creation. With that in mind, we should ask to ourselves, where do we find our real identity? The glory of our land or the glory of our Christ? The Bible says that we are a new creature in Christ, so our identity no longer lies in who we were, what we are today, or what we will become in the years to come. If the Spirit of God indeed dwells in us, we can say with the Apostle Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life of every Christian will always fluctuate during our pilgrimage in this broken world. This is a reality. But the Apostle Paul expressed this in his own life when he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 12, part A. He says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. This is a reality in every single person here in this sanctuary. However, the apostle taught us through his life that when our identity is established in what we possess, whether material goods, prestige, or power, we will quickly become unhappy and frustrated. But when we discover that our real identity is in the blessed Christ, who is the God of Amen, we can have complete peace and affirm the same thing Paul did in the second part of this verse, Philippians 4, verses 12. Quote, if any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. That's the reality. Once a new member of our church came to me and said, Pastor, I feel like I'm not a good person because I made a mistake recently and I feel dirty because of it. And I said, but none of us are good through our own righteousness. However, I asked, are you sure you tasted the new birth in Christ? She said, oh yes, Pastor. Even in these moments of sin, do you still love Christ? And she replied, yes, with all my heart, I love Him. And then I said, confess your sin and believe that the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin and stands us before Him. You are what the Bible says you are. You are not what you feel or what the world says you are. Our identity is in Christ and in His character. But when we look back to this church, we also discover that the biblical path to finding our identity in Christ is when we identify our path with God's mission rather the world's mission. Because the church of Laodicea drew its identity from the world rather than from the character of Christ, social and economic achievements gave them a false sense of value and well-being. The awareness of who we are will determine our life mission. I'll say it again. The awareness of who we are will determine our life mission. If my performance in life determines my value, then I will be a slave to the search for more achievements, and I will forget the mission of God entrusted to me in this world, which is to make new disciples of Christ every single day. Before this, the Lord declares to the church, I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. The few faithful in Laodicea were neither cold nor hot like its water. Just giving you a little bit of its context. The Beth, 75 miles away near Hierapolis, sent medicinal water to Laodicea. But by the time the water reached the city, it had cooled. And the calcium carbonate in the water caused nausea in the people who drank it. On the other hand, Colossae was just 3 miles away, and they had springs that produced refreshing, cold, and pure water. If the Laodiceans had never heard the gospel, they would be cold in a spiritual sense. But that was not the case. We assume that the first generation of Christians in Laodicea accepted the gospel and burned enthusiastically like a spiritual fire. And we can see Paul mentioning them at the end of the letter to the Colossians. But their descendants were lukewarm. They had no interest in witnessing to Christ Jesus, serving the Lord, or preaching and teaching his gospel to advance his church and kingdom. Unsurprisingly, Jesus said, I know your works, implying that we're none. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. When a church forgets that it is an agency of the kingdom of God in its neighborhood to show through words and deeds how children, young people, and adults find their identity in Christ and in his mission, that church is about to die. Every single year, more than 3,000 churches close here in our country. Churches with beautiful histories, but they are closing because they forgot to find their mission in Christ's mission. The expression, spit them out, the Lord mentions to the Laodiceans, is not a loss of salvation, but a realization that such a congregation will soon no longer have saved people. When real Christians are faithful to the command of making disciples of Christ, the local church where they belong will keep growing with more real converts to Christ, who by the grace of God, will serve the Lord until the last days of their lives. This is what the Lord promises in Philippians 1 verse 6. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. If you know somebody who belongs to a church and abundant faith in Christ, definitively, it means that this person never had a genuine faith in Christ. This is what the Apostle John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Quote, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. Some practical considerations. The places I go in my free time, the people I hang out with and share my life with, and the topics that predominate my informal conversations provide insights into my real mission in life. If I understand that loving Christ in this world is my main mission, my children and grandchildren need to grow in faith. My family schedule will be built around something other than my children's academic, sporting, or leisure careers. At the top of the list, church, it will be the most important thing for a disciple of Christ. Therefore, our agenda must permanently focus on Sunday worship, Sunday school, discipleship groups, youth meetings, prayer meetings, and family devotionals. But finally, we can find the path to our identity in Christ when sometimes we go and humiliate ourselves and repent before the Lord Jesus' invitation. In the verses 18 to 22, the Lord is calling back the few real believers at the church in Laodicea to come back to Him. The church thought it was self-sufficient, but we must find our sufficiency in Christ. When the Lord says, I advise you to buy from me, Christ presents Himself to the church as a spiritual merchant. His products are essential. His price is free, is out of His grace. There is glorious news for the poor, blind, and naked in that church. They were poor, but Christ encourages the church to acquire gold for their poverty, also white garments for their nakedness, and salve for their blindness. What is the meaning of the precious merchandise Christ offers? The gold Christ has is the kingdom of heaven. The clothing Christ offers are the garments of righteousness and holiness. The eye drops point to the opening of the eyes for discernment. Christ calls on believers not to trust in banks, factories, and medicine. He calls them to Himself. Only Christ can enrich our poverty, clothe our nakedness, and heal our blindness. That's the reality, and that's the calling of the Lord. Christ calls the church to change its life. In the verse 19, we see an explanation and an appeal. I discipline and rebuke those I love. Therefore, be zealous and repent. It is amazing that a church in a such bad condition, the Lord Jesus still loves it. Christ does not give up on the church despite its condition. He is demonstrating His mercy before revealing His judgment. And the discipline is a vivid expression of His love. So the Lord is calling His church at Laodicea to start over. And sometimes when we search our hearts and find ourselves far away from the Lord, it is necessary to stop, repent, cling to His mercy and forgiveness, and start over again by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not be ashamed of doing that. This is why he calls. He's calling also in a personal invitation to those in the context of the visible church who are not yet part of the invisible church. It is important if you were born in the church. Salvation is an entirely personal matter. While many slammed the door in Jesus' face, he invited others. Christ comes to visit us. And this is why he calls all who were in the church of Laodicea to a personal decision. Say, I am at the door and I knock. If someone opens the door, I will come in. Jesus knocks through circumstance and he calls through his word. The local church is a place of salvation and conversion for those who still need to find their identity in Christ. And he is inviting to supper, to a fellowship, an extremely special meal, not in this life, but also when this broken road ends, he will also be welcoming all of us to the marriage feast he prepared for his own. Some final considerations, church. If we achieve glorious things today, we must be happy, yes. But let us dedicate each one to the Lord and not allow our achievements to take us far from the sovereign Christ who brought us to each one. If we experience dark days of physical pain, abandonment, or spiritual weakness, the Lord will knock on the door of our hearts so that we can discover all the comfort and sovereign joy in his presence. In troubled times, his grace will be revealed upon our lives in a special way. He's knocking the door, calling us for a deeper level of fellowship. And finally, if we were raised in the church, but still feel inclined to live our lives like those who don't have Christ on their agenda, Christ invites us to dine with him now. Surrender to him. Confess him as your Lord and Savior. And taste the fountain of living waters that flow from his throne of grace. At the beginning of this message, we reflect on singer Cole Caleb's criticism of many people's search for acceptance. In the last verse of the song, she makes an invitation. Quote, take your makeup off. Let your hair down. Take a breath. Look into the mirror at yourself. Don't you like you? Because I like you. Christ's invitation this morning is for us to take off all the makeup of these world values, look at his glorious face, and find all acceptance, appreciation, and purpose in life in him. May the Lord bless his church. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word that guides us in every single moment. You search our hearts. You know the reality of everyone who belongs to your church here. Give us the grace to find our identity in you and only in you. And whenever the circumstances of life and also our appearance changes, we'll be the same. We'll be loved. And we'll keep serving you in the different stages of life. Give us the grace to understand that. And whenever we need to repent, we may do with a humble heart, trusting in your grace that we will stand us again in your presence. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.